Hi, it's Dave. Welcome. Today I'm joined by James Stevenson. He goes by I_cannot_enough on Twitter. And we've got a fantastic discussion ahead talking about Tesla's blowout quarterly earnings, also the impact that it will have on Tesla's Q4 earnings. So James, welcome on the show. How are you doing?
Thanks so much, Dave. It is my pleasure to be back. Always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, Tesla. Awesome. Yeah, it's crazy. What happened here? So Tesla delivered a blowout record quarter earning or deliveries of 308,000, I think 600 or so cars, way beyond anyone expected. Troy Tesla got close with 299. But I mean, what happened there? I mean, can you shed some light? How did Tesla do this?
Yeah, huge killer blowout numbers got reported this morning by Tesla. I was very excited to see something over 300. I didn't think it was possible, really. I had actually made fun of some Tesla haters on Twitter who had recently upped their expectation to 300,000. But then Tesla went and beat it and proved them right. So yeah, people were not talking about Tesla coming in with numbers over 300,000 for both production and deliveries in Q4. Tesla had never exceeded 241,000 deliveries in any previous quarter, so that was a giant lift, which really is a testament to how well Shanghai is ramping beyond the expectations that management set for it.
Yeah, it seems like the bulk of it is the Shanghai ramp, because it seems like Fremont is more or less, you know, steady. Why do you think Shanghai is ramping like so successfully?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm not sure I've got a lot of boots on the ground information on Shanghai. I did see 70.5K deliveries in China, in Shanghai in December. Mm-hmm. Blew away everybody's expectations for how much would get sold domestically in just 1 month. Normally it is the final month of each quarter that has the most local sales, but that was a big number for them to turn in, which if you annualize is 840,000. And that's more than we had been led to believe the capacity of that factory was. So That's a big element of the success, and it's really good for earnings if you can produce a lot more vehicles from your lowest cost per vehicle factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to ask you, I want to see if you could help us clarify. So we've got these crazy record delivery numbers way beyond anyone expected. How is this going to impact Tesla's earnings in a few weeks? Like, where is it going to show up the most, you think?
They're going to get a lot better. Yeah, I was expecting like, 4 billion-ish in non-GAAP earnings, and we're going to get more like 5 billion-ish now, probably.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I had a pretty low, I only publish a forecast twice a quarter, so my most recent published forecast was from late October, and I had 260,000 as my expectation. If you listen to the earnings call, Zach was talking about, hey, we're near the end of this chip shortage problem, but you never know what kind of problems you might run into. They were trying to underpromise and overdeliver and caught people by surprise, I think.
Yeah. So we're looking at, obviously, revenue goes up significantly because you have more cars delivered. Do you expect margin to go up because they're squeezing more cars out of the same amount, of factory equipment and people, labor, et cetera. So what are your expectations with margin?
It's going to be better than I had previously thought. The mix is favorable. So a lot of finance people are familiar with the concepts of rate and volume. If your volume goes up, in this case, the deliveries went up, you would expect to make more revenue and have more earnings. You'd also expect to gain on efficiencies of scale, because the more you make out of any given location, the more you can lever against the fixed costs of those locations. Factories have fixed costs and they have variable costs, and the lower that variable cost is, the better when you're producing at high volumes to drive more profit to the bottom line. You get better flow through at higher volumes. So that's an important concept. And rate is, how much does it cost per vehicle? the lower you can drive that number, the better off you're going to be. So a lower cost per vehicle makes for more earnings. But there's also this concept of mix. Mix is who was buying these cars and what was the cost from the location that produced the goods that they purchased. Fremont had been producing most of the vehicles this whole time. And as China continues to ramp, Shanghai is producing a lot more of the share of vehicles at that lower cost. So that favorable mix is driving gross margins higher.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I mean, so we have, you know, a lot of price hikes in the U.S., North America. Did we see similar, you know, types of price hikes in the countries that Shanghai delivers to as well in Asia?
I do update their pricing, and yes, on the low end, Model 3 and Model Y, they did raise prices. I think they left them alone on the long range and the performance.
Okay.
So you have to feather in those pricing changes because the backlog is so long. So as soon as a price increase gets announced, hey, they've raised the price of Model 3 by $2,000. Well, you won't see the impact of that price increase right away in that quarter, and you won't see much of it in the next quarter because the backlog is so long. They're still honoring purchases made by people who ordered at a lower price that they have to honor. So it takes a few quarters before you start to reap the benefits of those price increases. It's tricky to drop that into your spreadsheet. It's one of the things that people are going to miss if they're trying to do a very high-level forecast. I'm doing the polar opposite of that with an extremely detailed forecast so that I don't forget to account for things like that.
Gotcha. So at the end of the Q4 earnings, we have non-GAAP income. You're forecasting about $4 billion, it seems like. Last quarter in Q3, we had $2.1 billion in non-GAAP income. So in my kind of rough estimates, I'm forecasting $3.2 billion, which is a 50% increase. You're forecasting the $4 billion, which is almost, you know, close to 100% increase in earnings. And when I look at this, it seems like part of our differences is with overall margin. So you're calculating 32% overall gross margins. I'm looking more at like 28.5%. So I'm curious, because I could see the auto gross margins being like, let's say 32, I have like 32.4% including regulatory credits. I see it, you know, margins going down with, you know, energy service, et cetera. So I'm curious, where are you getting 32% overall gross margins?
Yeah, it's a wild card every time trying to see what those other businesses are going to do, services and other, energy. They never make a lot of money. Leasing, there were a bunch of leased S and X, I was surprised to see. 17%, which is higher than we normally get on the report this morning.
Yeah,
that's a small piece of the overall pie, though. I think it's, again, the continuing benefits of local sourcing in China. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of problems with shipping and shipping containers and trying to get affordably overseas shipped parts to factories. And Shanghai really benefits from being able to locally source a lot of the components that go into those vehicles. Mm-hmm. They can continue to drive down their cost per vehicle that way. And as they become a larger part of the mix, it helps to lower the automotive gross margin or the cost per vehicle, mm-hmm. which improves the automotive gross margin as time goes by. There are people who have higher expectations than mine. There's always going to be people who think I'm too low or too high on my forecast, which is part of what comes with publicly tweeting out a forecast. You're going to get a lot of opinions from a lot of folks.
Yeah. I mean, if Tesla reports $4 billion in non-GAAP income next quarter, I mean, this will be insane. I mean,
well, $1.6 billion of that's going to get backed out as being a one-time item.
Oh, so you're incorporating the tax-deferred favorability.
Yeah.
Oh, into that, really? Oh, okay.
Well, not into the automotive gross margin because that's not where the tax expense line hits. It hits below the line. But if you're talking about the non-GAAP earnings at the bottom line, yes, they include my expectation that Tesla will take the one-time tax benefit from prior year's losses in
Okay,
Q4
so
of
what's
2021.
your non-GAAP income backing that out, the one-time tax deferred favorability? We'll talk about that in a second for people who
Yeah,
need a workflow on that.
I got slightly over 5 billion on the non-GAAP earnings line. So if I take 1.6 off that,
All right,
I'm at
so
3.4.
okay, we're pretty close then. Yeah, I'm at 3.2 billion without, that one time. You're at 3.4 billion. Okay, so we're pretty close with non-GAAP net
I
income.
should have started with the heavy hitter. I'm sorry. I
No
skipped down the
worries.
page to what you were talking about at the end.
No, that's I think 3.2, 3.4 billion. I mean, it's going to be huge. Let's talk about this one time tax deferred favorability credit or so in Q4 that you think Tesla's going to book. I think they're going to do it as well. We've been waiting like every quarter for the past like four
Yeah,
quarters. It's like crazy. So
five.
give the viewers like the 30-second explanation of what this is, and then do like another kind of thing of why you think this quarter is the quarter that Tesla's actually going to book this.
All right, I will take my accounting machete and try to hack through this as fast as I possibly can. So the GAAP rules are if you're a business that's been losing money, which most businesses do lose money before they make money, the IRS does you a solid and they say, hey, you're allowed to save up and roll over those losses and accumulate that deficit over time on your balance sheet and hold that as like rollover minutes, you might think of them with a cell phone plan or something, until you get profitable. And then as soon as you get profitable, they don't make you start paying taxes right away. I mean, you do. But you're allowed to take the benefit of all those losses against the taxes that you owe and say, hey, we lost $6 billion over the years. Can we offset that $6 billion against the profits that we've made this year to reduce our taxable income? And then we'll only pay $2 billion in taxes instead of, a lot, or we'll pay $2 billion less taxes by being able to take that benefit. So I think they only let you take 80% of it in the first year that you claim it, and you're not allowed to claim it until it is more likely than not that you're going to be able to claim all of it. That's the way that works. So you have to get your auditors to agree. Now is the time. We have high confidence. Well, not even high confidence. We find it more likely than not that we're going to be able to use all of this loss that we've saved up over the years because we're going to have more than that much in profit that we would otherwise be paying tax against. I thought they were going to take it in Q4 of 2020, but they didn't. So the next place that I stuck it was Q4 of 2021, and that's where it's been for my last year of forecasting. So
So
fingers
why?
crossed they're going to take it and we'll be rid of it and and done with it and can move on with our lives.
So why Q4? Is there anything special about that, the end of the year?
I think it makes sense to do that because it's the last quarter of the tax year. I don't know why you would wait and take it in a Q1 or a Q2 or a Q3 and then not be able to take the other 20% of it until the following year anyway. I think the cleanest way to be rid of it is to take 80% in a Q4, 20% in a Q1. So 3 months from now, they could take 0.4 billion, so the rest of the 2 billion, and then that would be it. So from then on, they'd be paying taxes like regular. Tesla is going to pay a lot of taxes. Don't worry about that. The numbers get real big. I've got some charts in the forecast thread that I tweeted out today, illustrating how much that tax expense it becomes of how Tesla spends each dollar of revenue they receive.
I think what's crazy about this Q4 is, I mean, last quarter we had this combination of 2.1 billion in non-GAAP income, plus you had good margins. But this quarter, it feels like this is the, I don't know if it's the quarter, but it feels like this is where the big profits start to come in, you know, like over 3 billion. You see like just the numbers improving. It's almost like Tesla defying what's possible. Like, you know, you could have, some people could have said, oh, last quarter was just kind of one-off quarter. They got lucky, you know, whatever, whatever. But Tesla's just doubling down and saying, no, it's not luck. Our business model is so solid, is so lucrative in a way that the more cars we make, our profit's just gonna, you know, radically improve and increase. And I don't know if people are completely grasping what's gonna happen in the next, you know, upcoming several quarters. And what's your take?
Yeah, I've picked up on some of that sentiment too. People thinking, oh, Tesla had a lucky quarter and they made some money. That is not what the trend shows. So the first tweet in my thread is showing bar charts over time of, you know, smoothed 12 trailing month profit numbers, gross margin, adjusted EBITDA, non-GAAP earnings, GAAP earnings. It's the same trend for all of them. They were losing money years ago, and it's just been steadily ramping upwards the whole time, right? And there's another chart in that thread later on that shows revenue per vehicle has been decreasing significantly over the last 4 years, and somehow, unexpectedly, Tesla has been improving gross margin. That's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be able to seriously improve gross margins at the same time your revenue per vehicle keeps dropping. That's supposed to be working against you. So it just shows how much more they've been able to attack the cost pressure side of it with better sourcing, procurement, better logistics teams. Reducing the cost to deliver each of these vehicles is really paying benefits to the bottom line, which is great for shareholders.
Definitely. End of Q4 2022, what kind of a non-GAAP income do you have on your spreadsheet there? While you're looking that up, I'll go ahead and link to in the video description to James's analysis. He did a thread on Twitter kind of detailing these spreadsheets. He kind of just screenshotted them so you can take a look at all of the forecasts. But yeah, Q4 2022, what's kind of your projected net income?
Well, the
Non-GAAP.
number in the model right now is 7,344,000,000,
Wow.
so
Okay.
not quite double what
Yes.
I'm expecting for 4,400,000 of
Yeah.
non-GAAP
And then do
earnings.
you have Q4 2023? What are your numbers for that?
Q4 of 23, I've got 12,686,000,000.
Okay, 12.6 billion. Yeah, these are crazy numbers, you know? I mean, these aren't like just they're like qu quarterly numbers. These aren't annual profit numbers. You know
No,
what I'm saying?
they get real big real quick.
Yeah.
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 It's you know,
I mean,
it's you have to believe that Tesla is going to keep making progress on full self-driving.
yeah.
Elon seems very confident in it. He's famous for saying it'll be done next year, which he said again recently. But man, I've got FSD beta on my Tesla.
Yeah.
I was a 99 driver, and I earned a spot to be an FSD beta tester. And it's doing a lot of stuff really well already. So they're just going to keep making progress on that. And my forecasting assumption is that as those features become more and more reliable, it's going to be the case that people intervening to stop FSD are going to be causing crashes more
Yeah.
often that the FSD would have prevented.
Yeah.
Elon mentioned those things can see in the dark really, really well at a superhuman level in an area where a human being would just say, there's nothing there, it's completely dark. Those cameras can count photons a lot better with, you know, camera vision than human beings can with these two eyeballs.
Yeah.
So the better that gets, the more Tesla will be able to charge for it. And there is no variable cost on charging more for FSD. As you raise the price, all of that price increase drops to the bottom line as profit. That's a huge lever for margins, right? And it's a way of limiting the backlog. If a whole lot more people decide that they want a Tesla, then Tesla can make. they're going to have to figure out, okay, how do we prioritize who's going to get these Teslas? We can't make enough for everybody who wants one. So do we start by making the ones for the people who bought FSD? Well, if you do, the FSD take rate goes to 100% until that backlog of FSD buyers gets worked through. Those would be enormous margins, right? And you could be raising the price at the same time. If
Got it.
that stuff happens, Katie bar the door.
So, I noticed in your forecast you have gross margins continuing to increase basically over 40% in 2023. This is kind of shocked me a bit because I don't think there's really any analyst on the street that is even close to, 40% gross margins in 2023. Is most of that because of FSD, you think, take rate and the margins from that, or where's that coming from?
Yes, a lot of it is from the FSD. FSD becomes a bigger and bigger piece of automotive gross revenue as time goes by, because I think they're going to keep raising the price on it, and more people are going to be buying it, right? So you've got a really serendipitous confluence of raising your prices and raising your deliveries and not raising your costs. Well, what happens when those three things happen simultaneously? There must be margin improvement on a percentage basis. That's just math. So if you believe that that's the environment Tesla will be doing business in going forward, then you believe the margin's going to keep increasing. I know it's unprecedented. Car companies do not make those margins. But car companies do not make vehicles as efficiently as Tesla is about to. Right, that Shanghai factory is cranking them out, and people who have attended investor conferences have heard that we can expect similar margins from Texas and from Giga Berlin, despite the fact that the labor rates are a little higher. I think they're automating more processes. They're, removing processes. The best part is no part. The best process is no process. As those costs come out of the system, the margin improves. And yeah, it's becoming less of a car maker and more of a software maker. Look at the profits Apple makes on the App Store. If you look at the share of that revenue that goes to Apple against the costs associated with earning that revenue, it's an enormous gross margin percentage, right? The same thing can be true of FSD or other software or upgrades that Tesla is able to do over the air. That's something that competitors do not have.
It's interesting because, most of Wall Street doesn't really believe in FSD and they won't assign, any value to it right now. They want to say, hey, prove it out first. And so they're not adding anything to the gross margin. So, most analysts will say, hey, Tesla tops out at, max 30% or something, right? But yeah, if we go higher to 40% or even higher, in 2023, and let's say hypothetically, Tesla makes Q4 2023, they bring in $50 billion of not, wait, is it 50? No, 12.6 billion, right? Of non-GAAP net income. Annualize that. That's a $50 billion, annualized net income run rate. If we give a multiple off of that, earnings, I mean, look, super low multiples, 50. I think that's ridiculous because, A, the earnings are growing like what, 70% or something. So how are you going to get 50% but or 50 multiple? But that's still a $2.5 trillion
$2.5
company.
trillion
If
is
you do
what you get if you
100,
do
which
that
is, yeah,
math.
it's kind of high, that's a 5 trillion. If you do maybe 70, that's a $3.5 trillion company. I don't know. How are you looking at the valuation here for Tesla, going
I
forward?
don't have anything built into my model for robots, for autonomous robot workers being sold. I don't have anything in my model for the Tesla network ride sharing percentage. All I've got is the assumption that FSD is going to become more valuable and command higher price points as time goes by. But that doesn't mean Tesla won't do those things. They are working on getting them done. They are often late, but they deliver most of the time. So sometimes they'll kill a project, and you'll hear about it from people on Tesla who say, Elon lies and broken promises and blah, 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 blah. But I think those folks are grasping for straws, because if you were to examine any other company closely, you would find plenty of things they explored maybe doing and then canceled when they found that those programs weren't viable for some reason or another.
I noticed in your 2023 projections, you have 40 billion in non-GAAP income, 56 billion in adjusted EBITDA. I mean, once you get to those numbers, 40, $50 billion a year, it's like, what does Tesla use that money on? I mean, obviously, I mean, they're only spending a couple billion in CapEx per quarter, you know? I mean, maybe they up it, they double it or triple it, but still you have so much money left over. So what do you think is going to happen? This is coming up. This could potentially come up pretty soon in a couple of years. You know, they have this massive amount of cash flow.
Yeah, well, there's the Apple approach. You just let it stack up. That's one way you can go. And it just keeps raising the enterprise value of your company because you have all that cash. But I don't think they will do that. I think the world needs a mind-bending, nigh unfathomable number of batteries. And I think Tesla wants to make so many of them. That you just wouldn't believe it. So I think we don't know how well Tesla is going to be able to scale production of their own 4680 cells yet. We know that they've got equipment installed at Giga Texas. There's photos of it you can find and in video. So it's being watched pretty closely that Tesla is going to try. I don't know how fast that ramp is going to go or what their volume output is going to be, but I bet it's not enough to supply all the future ambitions. Tesla needs to start producing the Cybertruck and the Semi, which both need 4680 cells because of the weight of those vehicles and the performance you need them to deliver. LFP is not going to cut it on those vehicles, so you need the best battery in them, and Tesla's going to have to make a whole lot of them. And they might need to make a whole lot more than that to satisfy the stationary storage market. Elon has said a few times in the past that he thinks one day the energy business will be as large as the automotive business. It's got a long way to go to get there. Tesla makes 83 cents on every dollar from automotive sales. These days, and only, 6 cents on every dollar from energy. But utilities, as they go greener, producing more electricity with solar power and wind, are going to need a place to store that electricity for when the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing. And the world does not have the level of battery production needed to satisfy that demand. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Tesla just build a ton of battery factories.
Interesting. I mean, $40 billion is still a lot. Battery factories.
It sounds like a lot, but Tesla's got a whole lot of vehicles to make. And if they're the best EVs in the market, the line is going to be long of people who want to buy them. So it seems like a shame to let a 1 year backlog grow to 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, when people are going to have to settle for less desirable electric vehicles instead of being able to get the Tesla they really want.
So listening to you, a lot of people will get starry-eyed, you know, all Tesla is invincible.
I do have that
Future,
effect on people.
the future is, you know, is done. But let's talk about risks. Obviously, there's always risk factors. Nothing is guaranteed. What do you see as the biggest risks in 2022 for Tesla?
The 4680 production and ramp is a concern. You could have a stranded asset situation for a while until you figure out that ramp, because or you have to come up with a plan B for what do we do to keep this factory running while we're trying to get the 4680 cell production up. What you don't want to do is what Tesla has not done, which is let's just start making as many of these semis and Cybertrucks and Roadsters as we can figure out how to make with the cells that we have available, because that's choosing to run lots of inefficient operations rather than running a lower number of more efficient operations. So it seems like they will try out the semi production lines in Nevada and try to get those, try to get all that production equipment validated before moving it to Texas to make those at scale. So I'm actually forecasting a really long ramp on semi while Tesla waits for there to be enough high quality cells extra to start making those trucks that need, you know, 8 Model 3s worth of batteries in them or whatever to run. I'm not sure if that's a very good multiple, don't quote me on it, but they need a ton of batteries in them. And it makes more sense to become more efficient at higher volume on Model 3 and Model Y to use those cells so long as you're constrained at all. And then once those constraints are lifted and you've got enough supply, then you start producing more vehicles. So that's one of the risks. I mean, key man risk is always a risk for Tesla and many other companies. Something could happen to Elon that prevents him from leading the company well. So there's a risk if you want one.
How about, how about this kind of the whole new car, used car market, you know, inflation? Well, maybe not just inflation, but there's like barely any cars available, you know, like I went to a new car dealership today and the guy, the salesperson said he claimed they only have 5% of what they typically have on the lot. And so there's this huge demand, you know, for limited supplies, and Tesla's had to raise prices as a result, like other manufacturers. Do you think that has kind of accelerated or kind of boosted Tesla's margins starting last quarter and also this quarter? And what happens when everything unwinds? If it does, do you see kind of that hurting margins at all? At least not, I wouldn't say absolutely hurting, but at least being some downward, you know, pressure at all.
Yeah, relatively. You could see a sequential retracement on that. But yeah, it can't hurt when the used car prices are so high. I thought somebody sent a tweet, it might have been your tweet, that used cars are up 38% year over year. Yeah,
it's insane.
I'm getting ready to go sell my car that doesn't even work, that I have in the garage, call around to a couple of Honda dealers and see who wants a 2002 Honda Accord that won't crank. And I might get an eye-popping offer for it if they're, you know, able to get it running and back out on the streets. So what's the current impact to Tesla of that? They can charge more for these vehicles that come off lease. A substantial number of Tesla buyers are not cash buyers paying for those vehicles. They're buying it, they're making payments for 3 years and then giving it back to Tesla. What's Tesla do when it gets that car back? Cleans it up, you know, recertifies it, sells it at whatever the market rate is, right? The right place to price that vehicle is whatever like vehicles are selling for on the open market, with maybe a premium on top of that for being able to get it from Tesla directly with, you know, a reliable warranty. So, yeah, Tesla's making big money off the folks who leased cars and gave them back. I think I saw one, somebody bought a Model 3 with the extra money they made selling their two-year-old Model 3 for more than they paid for it initially. So the appreciating assets are here already, even before full self-driving is ready.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think there'll be a stock split in 2022?
If I were in charge of the world, there would be a stock split. Yeah. And I'm not. Nobody ever asked for my opinion on this thing, except for you, Dave. I appreciate you asking me. No one with the ability to make a stock split happen asks me. But over $1,000 is the territory where I would split a stock of a company that I owned, because not everyone is equally financially savvy. So you've got a lot of folks out there who say, why would I pay $1,000 for a share of Tesla when I could buy a Ford share for $7. I don't think Tesla is that much better than a $7 Ford. So, have you heard of market capitalization, folks? It's important. These are fundamental concepts. Please understand them before you invest. Yeah, and take a look at Ford's balance sheet. They have a whole lot of debt to worry about. I hope they make it. Let's hope Ford makes it. Elon's fond of saying that Ford and Tesla are the only American automakers that have never gone bankrupt yet.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Tesla stock price. So in 2022, what is your kind of expected price range that you think you would see? Obviously, this is not financial advice.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, saying or predicting anything, just as a personal type of, you know, opinion.
I do try to tack that on to my tweets when I talk about stock price expectations for the future. All right, you want the 1 year price target, so Q4 of 2022?
Sure.
I got a few different ways I can look at this. So one of them is the Peter Lynch PEG equals one price target. So Peter Lynch had this deal where he said, hey, if your company's growing earnings at 20%, then you ought to be okay paying PE of 20 on that company. Or if the company's growth rate is 100%, then you should be fine paying a 100 PE on that company because their earnings growth is going to make that company worth it. I've got 1,497 in as my calculation for Q4 of 2022 for that one. I have another approach in my model, which is the 12-month price target with historical PEG ratio adjustment. So if the PEG ratio keeps doing what it's been doing without adjusting itself down, 4,605 seems high. And then I have Stevenson Indicator, which I saw some of your commenters asking you to ask me about. Stevenson Indicator, trademark James Stevenson, is a joke trend line that Mayur Thaker and I decided to name Stevenson Indicator TM because it was a trend line that had been seen by everybody who looked at a chart of Tesla. It was the most obvious support line anybody ever saw, perfectly straight line. Every time the stock price comes down, it just bounces right off. And that number was the 2020 low of, I think, March 18th at like $72, plus $1.69 per trading day since. That is the Y equals MX plus B formula that I calculated, where only a couple of times did it get touched. And, you know, for a day, it might trade under that and then pop right back over it again. That's 1,262 for a year from now. So you can think of those as brackets. And maybe it's a skewed left distribution on that one. Mm-hmm. So a year from now, between 1,262 and 4,605, with a skew towards 1,497 mm-hmm. is what I'll give you.
Awesome. Fantastic explanation. wide range, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing about Tesla. It's like when you've watched it for so long, you there is a sense of, there's a wide range. But, you know, the good thing about Tesla is the more important thing is the execution toward these, you know, really ambitious goals, these great products that ultimately drive the earnings, you know, and lead the company forward. And it's exciting times, definitely, you know. We're in this kind of turning point or this critical juncture of Tesla, feels like, where it's going to be, I would say lift off, but 2022, it just seems like, potential for a lot of interesting things to happen.
Yeah, the future looks bright. I mean, I love making Tesla charts, and one of the ones that I made is this animated chart that shows the deliveries every year, that there's more deliveries than there were the year before. You can just see the exponential stacking over time. Tesla's been keeping that up for a long time. And I don't see any reason why that's going to scale back. Two new factories opening this year. I mean, maybe they ramp a little slower than we would like them to. Okay, you still have these assets that are going to be producing a lot of profit for many years to come. So there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Tesla investor.
What's that thanks Elon? Is that a license plate back there, or what is that?
Let me grab this one. I got my wall of Tesla memorabilia back here. So yeah, this is my thanks Elon plate. This one was actually on my car for a couple of years. It expired in November of 2020, and I got another one. So I still have thanks Elon on my car. If you're ever driving around Florida and you see the thanks Elon black Model 3, that's me inside. I got my Tesla tequila here, Bradford S. Ferguson. Gave me this yesterday. He was vacationing in Florida, and we got together and talked for a while. We drank an Elon Musk together, which is my invented concoction. It's easy to remember because the acronym spells out Elon's name. The ingredients you need to mix in an Elon Musk are Everclear, limoncello, orange liqueur, New Amsterdam gin, Malibu rum, 7-Up. It's really hard to find a bar ingredient that begins with U, so I had to bend the rules a little bit and make 7-Up my U. Saint Germain, elderflower liqueur, and Ketel One vodka. You put all those in one glass, that's an Elon Musk. It's got a kick.
Nice.
Yeah,
Fun
but it's
stuff.
actually not bad. It's very tasty, fruity, got a nice caramel apple finish to it. So try that one at home. You want the 7-Up to be at least half of that drink when you mix it. That's a lot of liquor in one beverage.
Got it. James, it's been fun. I love talking with you. Always a great perspective. I'll go ahead and link to your Twitter description in the, or your Twitter profile in the video description below. Any kind of last words you want to just mention to folks?
I don't know if I had any prepared remarks to say today, but it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Don't be a stranger. We'll do it again soon.
Definitely. All right. Thanks, James. Good luck,
All
and
right, sir.
have a happy 2022. All right.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Okay. And
All right,
everyone
sir.
else too. All right. We'll see ya.
Bye.